And the word of the Lord says, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Let us pray. Father, as we approach your word, Father, and dig in as a body, Father, Father, I just pray that we are able to humble ourselves, Father, to listen to you, Holy Spirit, to speak the things that we need to hear. Father, I pray for Patrick that you would just hide him behind the cross, Father, so that we can hear the words that you've given him for our lives, Father. Father, that it would just not be words that we hear that build us up and we go home and do whatever, but let it be words that build us up and we go out and share that word, Father, that we be that light in this world, Father. Father, that we be changed, as TJ prayed earlier. Father, we love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. How many of you here this morning have social media? Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Twitch, MySpace. These things are used by billions of people. And they've created all kind of new things in our world. They've even created new careers. There's one you may have heard of. It's called social influencer. You heard of that before? These are people that use their social media accounts, all their followers, to influence the purchasing and decision-making of those that follow them. They put out content designed to entice, encourage, and persuade people to buy certain things, think certain ways, even vote certain ways. And most of them are paid for their impact, and their reach is very broad. Last year, they reached around 4.5 billion people. They push products, and their influence turns things that were forgotten into things that are trends, like Stanley cups, right? What used to be a thermos for mill workers to take their coffee in is now a giant 40-ounce cup that every woman in America seems to need. They push music and clothing, and they aren't just movie stars and athletes, but everyday people that somehow gain a following and then monetize their accounts. There's even Christian lifestyle influencers. They post Christian values and scripture. They all want to help folks see on social media the beauty of God's word. And what I saw today as I looked at Matthew 5, 13 through 16 is that Jesus was way ahead of social media. That he understood how powerful our personal influence can be. He knew that his followers, as they were transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit, would be able to make an impact with their lives on the lives of others around them through their words and their deeds. And he wanted them to understand that they needed to be intentional with that influence. See, we saw the transformation that he says will happen in Matthew 5, 1 through 12. The way we come to faith, and it changes us from the inside to the out. He said, you come to faith as a beggar, one is poor in spirit that mourns your sin, as a humble believer that hungers and thirsts for the things that are right by God. And then mercy pours out of you, and purity is formed within you, and you desire peace between God and man and your brothers and sisters. He said, living this way will bring hatred from those that don't understand it. They hate the things of God, and so they will hate to see the things of God in you. But he said, but through it all, you can be happy because we are a part of God's kingdom, and we will see the King himself in person one day. And we will be comforted by him, by his loving hands, in our eternal inheritance. I said last week, Jesus is teaching these truths to his disciples. He's gone up on this mountain and he sat down and they came to him. And this whole crowd had gathered around Jesus, thousands upon thousands from north, south, east, and west. They came. But these teachings were not something that they could embrace yet. But while Jesus was teaching the disciples, his heart was still set on the crowds. See, the Bible tells us clearly that Jesus' heart was for the people in those crowds. Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 14:14, he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion on the crowd because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I am unwilling to send them away hungry lest they faint on the way. Jesus was concerned with the crowds, not just his disciples. His heart broke as he looked out at this mass of humanity and saw how broken and beaten down they were. So he taught his disciples, those men that had said, we will follow you wherever you go. He taught them what they needed to know to go to these people in the crowds and to help them come to saving faith. He told them in our passage today that influencing the people in these crowds was one of their responsibilities as his happy disciples. So he teaches that every believer is called to be a social influencer. That every one of you that's here today that has put their faith in Jesus is called to use your life to influence others towards the beauty of Jesus Christ. You look at Matthew 5:13-16. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. It's all about the influence that you have. The influence that you're called to make, that if you have come to saving faith in Jesus, if you are truly his disciple, then other people are going to know it. And you're going to use your life for his glory and for their good. That they will see a difference in you. That something has changed and been transformed so that you live for things differently than they do. See, Jesus comes with this true understanding of what the world is like. You may miss it if you read it just quickly. But he teaches us from his perfect understanding of the world. And what he understands about the world is this. Mankind is rotting in the dark. Mankind is rotting in the dark. You look around at the world and there is moral decay all around us in the spiritual ignorance that exists in the world today. Mankind is rotting in the dark. And that's why he says we're supposed to be salt, because salt's number one use in his time was preservation. They didn't have refrigerators or freezers back then, so they would rub salt all over their meat to store them and keep them for weeks and months and sometimes even years. So when Jesus is teaching that his disciples are the salt of the earth, he means that the world is rotting, morally decaying, and they are to be the means by which God preserves some good in the world. That they are to be the ones that show others and hold on to what is good in the eyes of God. Disciples are salt and disciples are light. They're beacons of spiritual truth. And if light is needed, why is it needed? Because there is darkness. There's a need for somebody to see in the darkness. And over in Scripture, we see that this world is called a dark place. Isaiah 9:2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. That is a prophecy that Jesus, the light of the world, was coming. Proverbs 4:19, but the way of the wicked is like deep darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. And all of us once walked in this darkness. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. We were once in the darkness, but Jesus takes us and he moves us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of light. Colossians 1:13 says he has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved son, the kingdom of light. See, the world would have you believe that people are basically good. And they're basically good. And they'll actually tell you that the world is getting better. But here Jesus tells you that's just not the truth. He says the world is rotting in darkness and it needs salt and light in order to see what I want them to see, in order to see their great need for me. I think if you look around this world, you know that it's not getting better. We're making all kinds of technological advances for sure. But all that is done, as I see it, is make ways for evil to prosper even more. I'll tell you, you read the Bible, when Jesus calls believers home, when there is a rapture, the salt and light is gone, the world gets way worse. And we're trending that way all the time. The world's not getting better, we're just getting better at evil. We're better at war. I mean, there's a little dude sitting behind a desk somewhere to just hit a button and we'd all be gone. We're better at sexual immorality, better at normalizing deviant behavior as we somehow understand things better now. Jesus knew that the world wasn't good. Wasn't good then, and it's not better now. But Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to save them and then use them to do something about it. And I hope you understand that if you are saved by Jesus, that means you. See, when he uses the phrase, you are as you are the salt and you are the light, he is emphatic. That is a plural you. It's a good southern word, right? Y'all. Y'all are the salt. Y'all are the light. And it's emphatic. So it's y'all and y'all alone. There is nobody else that he's given this role to. Your social influence is the responsibility of every true disciple of Jesus. To go out into the world and to be salt and to be light, that people might see that there is a way that is different than the evil and moral decay of this world that's rotting in darkness. And see, either we, his disciples, are salt and light, or no one is. There's not a plan B. It's just us. I want you to understand this truth. In this world that's rotting in the dark, God chose you to slow the rot and dispel the darkness. He chose you to do that. No matter how introverted you are, how shy, how much you want to be cut off from this dark and decaying world, you are called to influence others, to influence the world for the glory of God and the good of others. You are called to be salt and light, chosen. You know, salt was very valuable back then. You know, you ever heard the phrase, that guy's worth his salt? Well, that comes from this time period where Roman soldiers would be paid with salt. It was that valuable. They would be paid in salt. And if a soldier was really good, they would say he's worth his salt. And if God chose you to do this, it means you are valuable to the world. You are a necessary part of this world. He's got people that he's put you in the path of that nobody else is salt and light for. Just you. You're to be a living example of the truth of the kingdom, what it is like to be one of his people and what it'll be like to be with him one day forever. So that those that he is calling will taste and see that the Lord is good, right? So how do we do this? How are we salt? That's what verse 13 says, right? Y'all and y'all alone are salt. And salt had a lot of uses back in Jesus' time. I talked about preservation, so it was a preservative, it was flavoring, it was medicinal, and it was known to be something that caused people to become thirsty. And Jesus, I think, had all of these uses in mind as he is saying, you will be salt. But they're implied in different ways, and I'm going to focus on just three ways we as disciples of Jesus are called to be salt and slow the rot in mankind. Those three ways are this. You slow the rot by being spiritual disinfectant, bringing out real flavor, and making folks thirsty. Three ways. First, we slow the rot in mankind by being spiritual disinfectant. That's how salt cures meat. It's rubbed on the meat, and it stalls the growth of microbes by pulling the water out of those cells that cause rot. It slows it down, even kills those microbes and prolongs the life of that meat. It's like a disinfectant you can eat, like spiritual Lysol. That's the influence that you're to have on the world around you. As you go through your daily life, you're to rub against the moral decay in the world around you. You are to live like Jesus, and as you do, you will rub up against folks that aren't, and they'll ask why. And maybe even stop what they're doing that's sinful when you come into the room. Right? We're to rub up against it. See, what that means, you got to be there, right? You got to be out in the world. Salt doesn't do any good if it's sitting over here by itself. Salt has to be rubbed onto the meat if it's going to preserve it. We have to be in the world, but not of the world. We have to be there, remain distinct from the world around us, but there, rubbing up against the world and showing them what it's like to be a follower of Jesus, the beauty of that truth. You're to be the coworker that the dirty jokes stop when you come around. You're to be the one that people don't cuss around or apologize when they cuss around. You're to be the one that they see doesn't complain like everybody else about doing the work that's there before you. You're to be the one that works heartily as unto the Lord. You're the one to walk away from the gossip and not be like, spill it. You're to be the one that's different. They'll see that and they'll respect it. And you don't do this because you're better than them, or because you've never done those things before, but because you know that that's not what Jesus wants you to be like. And they'll see that and they'll say, there's something different about him, something different about her. The influence of your changed life will lead them to understand that there are things that God wants us to do and doesn't want us to do. Those that you brush up against as salt will see the fullness of the life God has given you. We'll push back some of the decay that's happening. I mean, there's another way that we're salt. You know, most food without salt is pretty gross, right? Now, you don't believe so. You fix your bowl of grits. And don't put any salt in it. Don't nobody want that. But salt doesn't actually change the flavor of things. Not if it's used right. Now, some of y'all just, too much. Salt brings out the real flavor of things. It draws out the best flavors of the food. It suppresses what's bitter and draws out the better tastes. And that's the second way Jesus, I think, intends for us as disciples to slow the rot in the world out there. We live in a way that brings out real flavor. We show the world what life is supposed to be, a life that's full, a life that's abundant, a life that's on unshakable confidence that we can endure anything because we have a Savior that loves us. A life that is not rocked, and we're not moved to and fro by the winds of change in the world around us, but that we are founded on Jesus Christ, and we know that this is not all we're looking for, that we have a life to come that's far better than anything we will have here. They'll see you, and they'll see a happy disciple, right? That's what God's transforming us into, what you should be, a happy disciple. Somebody with purpose and principles. Somebody that's bold and secure. A life that isn't bland like the sinful life of the world. See, most people in the world are rotting in this darkness. That is, they all look exactly the same. They do the same things. They have the same hang-ups. They live in the same sinful patterns. But you step into that world as salt, And they see that there's a different kind of flavor. Instead of falling into the same junk as everybody else, they can see that there's a life full of the flavors of heaven. A life that is lived the way God designed us to live. And when they see that, they will long for that flavor and understand the blandness of their sinful life. Understand that the moral decay, the wickedness that we were once caught up in, that ain't how God designed you. He didn't design man to live in that sinfulness. He designed us to live in the perfection of Eden. Right? That's where we were to begin with. The curse of sin is what's led to all of this. And when you begin to live in God's design, the way He created us through faith in Jesus Christ, they will see something different and they will be drawn to that inside. They will desire what you have because it just tastes good, right? It's all the best things of the world around them. And they understand that they are in desperate need of something more than what the world offers. That's what the third thing. So you're here to help them see that they are made for something more. Jesus meant that in us being salt, that we are making folks thirsty. Making them thirsty for the things of God. See, salt throws off the balance of fluids in our bodies and makes us want water to reset those levels. And when we live as salty Christians, folks will see that there is something off with their lives in comparison to ours. When you don't react the same way as them or as you used to under stress and conflict, they'll see that and wonder why they still respond with anger. When they see you content in life, they'll wonder why they don't feel satisfied in anything. And you'll be able to tell them it's because you found the living water that is Jesus Christ. And in their spiritual dehydration, they may recognize their own need for Him. But folks won't always have a positive response to your saltiness. You ever got salt in a cut? That joint don't hurt. Don't feel good, right? Hurts. You get salt in a wound and it hurts. And while the sinful wounds of people's lives need your salt, sometimes when it hits, they'll lash out. They'll get mad at you. They'll hate it because you're pouring salt in a wound that they want to keep open. They like that sinfulness. They like rejoicing in that sin. And they'll get mad at you for calling it out. But you don't stop being salt because somebody else gets mad. In fact, Jesus says you rejoice in it because you're showing that you really belong to Him in that. That He's given us enough to face the hatred and the persecution that comes with being salt. These are some of the ways we can be salt and slow the rot, but Jesus also calls us to be light. And in that, we are to dispel the spiritual darkness of this world. See, being the light of the world isn't negotiable if you're truly saved. He says, you're a city on a hill. It can't be concealed. If you are truly mine, you're going to show that you're mine. True disciples are obvious to everyone, like the ancient cities of Jerusalem that could be, or Israel, that could be seen for miles around, like light shining in the darkness. You know, you actually have to work to make your light go unseen. And some of y'all do a real good job of that. Sometimes I do a good job of that. You got to work. Jesus says it's like taking your lamp and putting it under a basket. That's the way that you hold your light back. But he points out that that's foolishness. Who would do that? Who would take their lamp, light it? These are not lamps like we have where you just flip it on. You got to fill it with oil. You got to get a wick and put it in there. Then you got to light it. He said, who would go to all that trouble only to put that thing under a basket where it does no good? Some of us work hard to do that because we don't want to be that guy, right? We want to be the person that stands apart from everybody else. We want to be involved in that dirty joke. We want to be included in the things that are going on in the dark. We want to be a part of what's going on. We don't want to step out and share Jesus with people, because then we become that guy that's holier than thou, that's named all these things. And we don't want to be that, because then we feel like we'll be ostracized from the world around us, right? We need more of that guy. The world needs more of that guy. That's what Jesus is saying. We need to be more of that. The one that abstains from joining in sin. The one that lifts up the things of Jesus. The one that does like we sang in that song. And I hope if you sang it, you really meant it, that you want to do things the Jesus way. That's what being light is. You live differently than the world around you. When you're saved by Jesus, you reflect the true light into the world. You're supposed to be that guy or that girl. Understand, the light's not ours. Jesus is the true light. He is the sun. We are but the moons. We reflect his light into the world around us. See, living as members of Jesus' kingdom, we dispel the darkness by shining brightly for God's glory. We don't hide it under a basket. We are proud to shine for him. When you shine brightly for God's glory, you don't withdraw from public, but go out among the people and live and speak the truth of God's word. You put your light in a place that it can shine on the most folks, like a light, a lamp on a lampstand in a house that shines for all the people in the house to see. The darkness of this world is spiritual ignorance. And so you go and show people what it means to truly follow him, to share the truth of the gospel near and far. And you shine not for people to look at you, but so that they will see Jesus and glorify God. How do you do that? You love people, even when they are unlovely. He'll teach this later, right? I say to you, love your enemies. You love people even when they're unlovely. You're kind to people. You do simple acts of kindness that are just little pinpricks of light that all together point towards the Savior that we have. You're empathetic and compassionate and courteous. All just demonstrations of light in the lives of these people, light in the darkness. And you do it all so that they'll see the beautiful light of Jesus. That's what Jesus teaches in verse 16. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Not to you, to your Father who is in heaven. That through your good works, they'll see that he is beautiful, that they might be drawn to him and fall on their knees in submission and become a beacon of light themselves. That's the influence you're supposed to have. There are so many people. I don't think our hearts are right most of the time. I think myself and probably y'all, we're just so focused on what we got to get done, we don't even see the crowds around us that are lost in darkness. We're so concerned with our schedule or what's important to us that we're not looking. But there are people that are broken and dying around us. There's another shooting in Chester yesterday. That happens every day. It's not just here. We read about those, but there's like 150 people that die every minute. Lost and headed for hell. See, one of the ways that we dispel the darkness is by being that light and giving people a beacon of hope. A beacon of hope. Your light is strategic for God. He has you in the lives of people living in darkness, and you are there as a light in a lighthouse, guiding them to the safety of life in the kingdom of God. While the darkness may seem safe to them, we know now that it leads to destruction. You know, a dark sea, in that boat, you just sailing around, a dark sea might seem safe. But that darkness disguises reefs and rocks. And if there's no light in the lighthouse, guess what? They run into those, and those ships are destroyed. There are a lot of people that are ships headed for destruction in your life. They need you to be a light that shows them the truth. They need you to be a light that uncovers what is lurking in the darkness. And when we shine brightly as beacons of hope for Jesus, we can illuminate a huge portion of the world. Hayden messes with my phone all the time. You know, you got these lock screens, and they have all these different kinds now. Well, there's one that is the earth. And it moves, it changes. And it shows when it's daytime, it's all aglow. But at night, it shows you what portions of the world are lit up by the lights of the earth. Like those cities, it shows you all of that. That's the power we have together, church. That if we shine brightly for the glory of God, if we let that light shine, if we're not hiding it under a basket, if we're not working to dim our lights, but if we're shining brightly, we can make a light that can be seen from space that all points to Jesus Christ. That's the potential impact our influence as believers joined hand in hand can have on this world that's rotting in darkness. But it'll only happen if you stay salty. We can only do it if we're willing to shine brightly. If we stay in the world but unchanged by the world. Romans 12, right? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. As long as we as are influencers and not influenced by the rotten darkness of this sinful world, we can make a difference. You can make a difference in the lives of others. And verse 13 tells us it's possible to be influenced. It says, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Let me ask you something today. How many people here want to be useless? I don't think there's anything worse to be said about us than we are useless. But if you hide your light under a basket, if you allow the world to impact you and influence you rather than being an influence, that's what this says. You are useless to the kingdom. But you don't have to be. That's a question you got to ask yourself, though. Question for you to wrestle with. Are you influencing the world, or are you falling to the world's influence? Are you scared to be salt and light? If we have received the blessings, the happiness that comes from being in the kingdom, then we have a responsibility to be salt and light, to be social influencers that influence the world for the glory of God and the good of others. And the question is, will you fulfill what Jesus enabled? Will you do what His blood bought you to do? Will you be salt and light? Let us pray. Holy and gracious God, thank you for the grace that you have shown us and the grace that you continue to show us even when we aren't salt and light. But God, help us. Help us to be those that show others their great need for Jesus. Help our lives to be those that are in pursuit of holiness and not in pursuit of the darkness of this world. God, it's easy to look and see that this world is rotting in the dark. But God, if we will do what you've commanded, we can help some. We can help one. Together we can help many come to see the beauty of Jesus Christ. But we got to be willing to do it, God. Help us be a people that aren't influenced by the world, but those that influence the world as we live the way Jesus died to enable us to live. God, I pray for the one that might be here today that doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. I pray that today they understand that they are lost in darkness, that they are sinners that need a Savior, and that Jesus Christ is that Savior, but He also wants to be their Lord. And that in this moment, as they are convinced that they are sinners, that they would be convinced that He is Lord, that they would confess Him as Lord, that they would believe that You raised Him from the dead on the third day, and that they would desire in repentance to live for Him, and You would use them as salt and light in the world around them. God, if that happens in one today, I pray You would bring them forward, that they would know that Jesus Christ lived a perfect life and died their sinner's death so that today they could come to faith in Him. God, thank You for Your word and for all the challenges it does to my heart and the hearts of those that are here. Make us, God, into Your disciples day by day. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.